Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live Wide Open.
Off the end of the back straightaway, Larson's going to send it. Larson's in the wall. Larson's on Hamlin's back bumper. Logano leads down the back straightaway. Keselowski's in line. Now he turns him. Both Team Penske cars crash. Keselowski is up in a ball of flame.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you after a very eventful racing weekend in Richmond, a race that saw us on wet weather tires to start, transitioned over to slicks, and at the end of the night, a restart that had a lot of folks worked up, drivers and fans alike. Denny Hamlin was able to get his second win of the year, and Denny Hamlin is the man on short tracks. He won the Clash, he won Bristol, he won Richmond, and now we're getting set to head into Martinsville this weekend, and I would put him at the top of the list as far as drivers that will have to be contended with. On top of the Hendrick Motorsports contingent that always seems to be a factor at Martinsville as well. One of their most successful racetracks, that 1-2-3-4 punch of Hendrick Motorsports is going to go rolling into the paperclip this weekend, and I'm sure will assert themselves as forces to be reckoned with. With Hendrick Motorsports in mind, on this week's installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open, I want to take you back to a conversation that we had with Ray Evernham. We've been doing a lot of work on our podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. Also been doing a lot of other projects as well. Ray has been a part of that. Had a chance to sit down with Ray and pick his brain on a lot of things, including the successes of Hendrick Motorsports in their 40th year. A lot of successes that obviously came at the Martinsville Speedway in Virginia. What have you been up to these days? What's going on in the life of Ray Evernham?
Oh, wow. Lots of things, Mike. You know, still my love for cars. I've been work with the folks over at SMI, doing some things with Marcus Smith and that group with the Smith Heritage Invitational, which is a concours that Marcus and his brothers want to put on to honor their dad. So we're working on that as part of the auto fair to grow that and hopefully do some things in a Goodwood style event at the new racetrack that they're building over there. So working with those guys. I recently partnered with my friend and fellow racer and collector, Rob Kaufman, to bring back the IROC brand. And we're trying to put some things together that find out where are all the IROC cars and where are the IROC Camaros and get that going and trying to put on a vintage event here before the end of the year and hanging out at my shop. You know, we're restoring cars and having some fun doing a little bit of vintage road racing and things like that and spending some time with family.
You had the IROC announcement, and of course that immediately sent me to YouTube, and I went back into the 70s to the Chevy Camaros, you know, that had the Porsche, I think, what, in 74, and then they had the Camaros, and we went to the Dodge Avengers and all that stuff, and then the, you know, Pontiac Firebirds. What brought about this? Why did you want to revive that brand?
Well, I've always believed in the IROC brand and Sirius, you know, that, to me it was a stroke of genius by Roger Penske, Les Richter, and Mike Phelps, and Jay Signori, but I started at IROC. That was my big break. You know, I came out of the Modifieds, went into IROC 1983, worked my way through there as a mechanic, crew chief, team manager, and ultimately I was one of the test drivers there for my last years. Part of my job was to shake down the cars, turn them over to Dave Marcus, George Fulmer, Jim Sauter. And, you know, through the years, I saw IROC go up, and then I saw the things that kind of made it go away. And I feel like there's still a spot for good brand. You know, people want to do the vintage road racing and the classic cars and the things that I've gotten into here recently by working with the folks at the Amelia Island Concours. And as I said, working with the Smith family, there's a lot of interest in, you know, seeing those legendary cars, those legendary drivers and things come back. And, you know, I love the history of the sport. So hopefully we can make something out of this. And you know, there's a ton of IROC Camaros out there that were built from 1985 to 1990. People are contacting me. There's still a great amount of IROC cars, race cars out there. As you said, they started with the Porsche, went to the what I call the Gen 1 Camaro, which is, I'm confusing the Camaro people, but the Gen 1 IROC Camaro, then the Gen 2, which were the Banjo Matthew cars, and then the Gen 3, which I was part of building. Those cars then became the Dodge Daytonas, they became the Avengers, and then they switched to the Firebirds. So it's just really a lot of fun tracking down exactly where these cars are at.
It's amazing when you go back and you watch those races. I mean, I grew up in those races. They're very elite. Now, when you say you bring back the brand and you want to have a vintage race, when a lot of people heard that announcement, they thought, IROC's coming back. We're going to have four or five race series. It's going to be like the Signoris. Is that the goal, to get it to that point? Or is it just you want the branding and then you handpick, well, have an event here, have an event there? Like, you had the branding and you want to do a vintage race, but what beyond that?
Well, that's the dream, you know. So, you know, and when you've got a... The dream is to do that. Would I love to bring IROC back like it was, or take it internationally, make it bigger than it was? Love to do that. But there's so many factors involved, so many steps along the way. And right now we're going to focus on finding out how much interest there is and finding out what the interest in finding the vintage cars and bringing the classic stuff back and looking at the history. And from that, there's got to be a business case. And right now racing's been a bit of a tough business case for a lot of people. So there's got to be some form of entertainment there. And I still feel like, you know, to get, you know, the Lewis Hamiltons against the Kyle Larsons and people like that, there's something there. But as we continue to go, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of partners. And then in the end, it all comes about the business case. And that's what I've got to work on now.
You dropped Lewis Hamilton's name, obviously a worldwide superstar, F1 superstar. He is one of the drivers that I would love, you know, with what Denny's doing and what Trackhouse is doing and what Roush is now doing, having that third car, almost like that all-star car. You know, the mind wonders, be like, wow, it'd be great to see this one and come over and run a cup race, like what Shane Van Gisbergen did at Chicago last year. Lewis Hamilton immediately comes. I would love to see what that young man could do in a stock car. Who on your list would you see, would love to see from another form of racing, maybe Lewis, maybe not, come over, run a cup race, or come over, run a NASCAR race?
I'll tell you, I think Lewis Hamilton certainly would be, you know, a great one. I do believe to have NASCAR continue to grow, you know, what Trackhouse did with Shane, amazing. And what that did to show, hey, wait, there's a lot of other talent out there. So mm-hmm. I honestly think that any of those young kids from Formula One could come over. I'm going to tell you, though, like I'm really impressed with a lot of these rally drivers and mm-hmm. the guys that nobody thinks about, you know, the car control and the skills and the timing that they have to have. Now, I don't know that we can have two guys riding with another guy going, okay, left, 300 feet or whatever, you know, but you know, we may have to separate them with their navigator. But there is a lot of talented drivers and motorsports fans around the world. And I think it does two things, right? It also lets people know how difficult NASCAR racing is and how good our guys are. Now, I know when you go to the road course and, you know, the new car is a lot like that Australian Touring car, and it's whatever, but, you know, when Shane gets to Daytona and Martinsville and some of these ovals, it's going to be a completely different thing. So, you know, off the top of my head, you know, I can't say I can't pick one person. You know, a lot of the people that I would like to see come over have time. They're already kind of retired. One of the guys that I've gotten to know well and I think got a ton of talent, love to see him do a NASCAR race if he wants to, is Mark Webber.
Wow. Yeah, that would be different for him.
Yeah, Mark, let me tell you, he's tough, you know, and I believe that, you know, if a guy like him were to come over and put a little time in it, I think he'd be a good choice.
As we record this, we are 2 days away from the NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and two of Hendrick Motorsports finest are going in together, Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus. You're already in the hall, but you've obviously a product of Hendrick Motorsports. What kind of pride do you take? What kind of pride do you think Hendrick takes of putting two of the most successful individuals in that Hall of Fame beyond the ones that are already in there?
Well, I'll tell you, I was trying to count up, you know, all the people who had been involved at Hendrick that are in the hall, and I don't know, there was 10 or 11 of them by the time I got done. And I can tell you, Mike, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that I am part of the Hendrick team, and I still am part of the Hendrick team, because once you're there, it's like family. And when I look at the atmosphere that Rick Hendrick created for all of us to excel, you know, not just him, because he's in the Hall of Fame too, but to see the people that have gone through there, to get an opportunity, you're not thinking about those things while you're doing it. You know, we're not out there trying to win races to get in the Hall of Fames and do that. Well, but when I look at what the platform that Rick Hendrick created for all of us, it really is it's amazing, and it speaks an awful lot to the leader. He is like a real leader, right? You know, not people say they're a leader. Rick Hendrick's a leader, and knowing that I never really got the opportunity to work with Jimmy, you know, a little bit, you know, in meetings and things when I was helping around there, but I worked with Chad hand in hand, and I will tell you that Chad is one of the most committed and hardworking people I have ever met in my life. All he has ever talked about wanting to be is the greatest crew chief. And I'll tell you what, you know, if he's not the greatest, he's in the top three.
You got that right. I mean, you're on that list.
I'm not even in the top three. You know, to me, when you talk about the greatest, you got to talk about Dale Inman, you got to talk about Leonard Wood, and then talk about Chad Knaus. That's my top three.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But also at the same time, don't sell yourself short, because when I look at those guys, I look at people who helped define an era. You and Jeff defined an era. Chad and Jimmy defined an era, and it all comes from Hendrick Motorsports. I talked to Cliff Daniels the other day, and he relayed a piece of information that Chad gave to him, some advice that Chad gave, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically the message was never underestimate the power and the resources of Hendrick Motorsports. And I stopped to think about that for a second. And with where it came from and where it is now, the resources are plentiful, but the power that race team and that organization possesses is not to be overlooked. I will say that's the most successful, outside of the Petties, I would say that's the most successful racing operation in the history of this sport. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, 100%. You know, 100%. When you look at, and again, that's no slight to the Petties at all and what they did and what they built to get the sport where it is. But, you know, the driving force behind that depth, as I said, that is Rick Hendrick. That is his that's where that power comes from. When I first went to Hendrick, Rick was talking about all of these plans, and this was going to be this, and he's talking about, I'm going to do this, and we're going to be here, and he's thinking out 20 or 30 years, and I'm thinking, that's really nice, but I'm thinking about 20 or 30 races, pal, you know what I mean? And he's there. He's had this vision, and he's worked and created that and given these resources and been able to stay ahead. You know, he has this uncanny ability to look ahead and see things. I told the story the other night about, I didn't want to be the crew chief when I went to Hendrick. I didn't have the confidence. I had an experience, and he made me the crew chief, and, you know, pretty much told me, look, you got to be the crew chief, because that's the only job I'm going to give you. It's the only job I got for you. And he saw more in me than I saw in myself. And he has had the ability to look at people like me, to, you know, like Tim Richmond, you know, like Jeff Bodine. If you look, all of the great names at Hendrick Motorsport, the one constant has been Rick Hendrick and the vision that he's had. You know, again, here I am, had a gun for somebody else. I said, hey, I'm going to build cars. I'm a good car builder. I'm a good setup guy. I don't have any experience to be a crew chief. Most team owners would have said, okay, we'll hire a crew chief, but not Rick.
Well, it's amazing. And look how it turned out, my friend. didn't turn out too bad.
No, it's been, as I said, it's been a good ride. My I've said this to Mr. Hendrick and to everybody there. You know, the years that I spent there with my DuPont uniform on, my Hendrick uniform, were the greatest years of my life, greatest years of my career, and can't thank those people enough and congratulate them all. You know, certainly it's... You know, Chad showed up at the door of my office in 1993, slept in his car, came in for an interview, and I said, well, where do you want to be in 5 years? And he said, I want your job. And I was like, man, that's the kind of guy I want. So not only did he get my job, he broke all my damn records, but, you know, it's just amazing, as I said, to see somebody, you know, he and Jimmy both are two of the most committed people that you will find in any sport.
Love catching up with Ray Evernham. He is so awesome. He's very busy. Glad he was able to free up some time to spend with us as we get set to go into Martinsville for the Cookout 400 race weekend. We'll give you the broadcast schedule here in a moment, but let's tend to matters of odds. Let's see what Las Vegas is saying about the favorites to win this weekend, and let's get producer Trey's favorites as well. Here he is. Trey, what do you have for us this week as we get set to head into Martinsville for their first of two races in 2024?
Well, Mike, Vegas thinks that Denny Hamlin is going to continue to be the short track king of the 2024 season. This weekend, after wins at Bristol and Richmond, Denny is the betting favorite to win this weekend at Martinsville at plus 450. Right behind Denny, you've got the defending series champion Ryan Blaney, who is the most recent winner at Martinsville. He is at plus 700. And then you have a trio of drivers, former Martinsville winners to be exact, who sit at plus 750. They are Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr., and Kyle Larson. And my pick to win this weekend comes from that trio. I'm going with Martin Truex Jr. Had the best car, drove the best race at Richmond. That caution flag with Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson getting into it with two to go ended those hopes. Denny Hamlin jumped or didn't jump the restart. Regardless, he beat Truex off pit road, won the race. You saw the emotion. You saw the anger after the race in Truex. We're heading to another short track, a track where he's dominated at in the past. I think he's going to be extra hungry to get his first win of the season and his first win since last August. Was great in the regular season, and then we know what happened in the playoffs. I think Truex is bound and ready to go back to victory lane this weekend at Martinsville. A couple of long shots that I like. One, a former Martinsville winner, and another guy who led a ton of laps in this race last year, Alex Bowman. He sits at 28-1. He's been on a bit of a good streak. Hendrick Motorsports is going to be extra motivated this weekend. All four of their cars are going to be in that candy apple red paint scheme as they celebrate their 40th anniversary. Jeff Bodine and Jeff Gordon are going to give the command to fire engines. It's going to be a very special weekend for Hendrick Motorsports at Martinsville. Bowman is one of those guys. I think he's going to be extra motivated. He's always motivated to end that winless streak, and I think he could do it this weekend. The other guy's Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece won the pole, led a ton of laps at Martinsville last year till he got caught speeding on pit road. He's 60-1. I'm surprised he's that far down. If Ryan Preece is going to surprise and win a race, Martinsville is going to be where he does it. So Preece at 60-1, Bowman at 28-1 are the long shots that I like. But ultimately, I think Martin Truex Jr., after just missing out last week at Richmond, gets his first win of the season in the Cookout 400.
Wow. Producer Trey leaving Denny Hamlin on the board for this weekend's race at Martinsville. I do believe it's going to come down to Gibbs or Hendrick. We'll all find out together. This busy weekend of racing that we refer to at Martinsville gets kicked off Friday night. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Long John Silver's 200. Motor Racing Network airtime, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're double dipping on Saturday. We'll have coverage of NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying at 4:30 Eastern, followed by the NASCAR Xfinity Series Dude Wipes 250. Tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern Saturday night. And then we're back on Sunday, the Cookout 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Live Race Day. Motor Racing Network on the air, 2 p.m. Eastern time. For producer Trey and the rest of the MRN team, I'm Mike Bagley. Thank you so much for the download. Check us out Sunday, NASCAR Live Race Day at 2. And don't forget, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, another edition of NASCAR Live. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Here for Ryan Blaney, four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.